Thanks for joining us for the sermon podcast of Cornerstone Community Church in Galax, Virginia. This week, we wrap up 2019, and we hear from Camden and Danny, our two missionaries, to Mexico. We also get to hear from several of our ministry leaders, and Mike shares what it means to be a disciple. Thanks for joining us, and if you want to find out more about Cornerstone, visit us online at mycornerstone.org or visit us in downtown Galax at 227 South Main Street. We meet at 9:15 and 11 a.m. each and every Sunday. Thanks for joining in.
Good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone. It's good to see everybody and see some familiar faces joining us today. It's good to have you here. I hope you did really have a great Christmas and you were able to spend time with family. You're able to eat a lot of good food, able to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as Jennifer said, everybody's kind of coming off that Christmas hangover a little bit just from how all the craziness and all the stuff that you've had going on. So I'm glad you're here today with us. And today's going to be a little bit of a different service. It's a little more laid back than normal. And so today we'll be got several things we'll be sharing. One of the things I love here at Cornerstone is that over the years we've had a lot of people serve Christ, not just here in Galax, but around the world. We've had a lot of short-term missionaries who have gone for, you know, weeks or months or even a year or two at a time. And then we've had some longer-term missionaries here at the church as well. In our cafe on the wall, if you've noticed, we have pictures and, we've had info on the different missionaries that we've had from our church here. Today, we're able to have one of those missionaries with us. Camden Jordan is here with her new husband, Danny, and we need to get his picture back there too now, as he reminded me last service. So they're here with us and glad to have them with us. They're in Mexico. And they're doing just a great work there, got some neat things going on. So I want you to welcome them. They're going to come up and share a little bit about what they're doing, and then I'll come back up and share the message.
Well, good morning. For the picture, just keep looking at it. It's like a Polaroid effect. It's going to appear, my picture. I don't know when, but it's going to appear. Funny accent? Yes, that's why, because I'm from Mexico, and it's also Camden's fault, because she don't want to correct me, because she thinks I sound funny. So, thank you, Camden. I think after this service, she's going to start correcting me. Thanks, Mike. Even I took like 10 minutes of in the first service of your message. Thank you for the time. Now, we're going to try to be specific and also short. I know you already know Camden, but I've been here in December. I've been here in May. I've been here in October many times. But maybe you don't know. My testimony, I will share in just like 2 or 3 minutes or my testimony. Then we're going to share about the ministry we're doing. And after, we're going to show you a little video. Okay. Well, I grew up in a missionary environment. Okay. My parents, they're from Argentina. They arrived to Mexico 35 years ago to start the Word of Life ministry in Mexico. I born in Mexico, in Guadalajara, and as you know, every kid of pastor, missionary, or even a Christian house, you do a lot of things, but not because they're really a conviction of you. You do a lot of things because of where you are living and who my parents are. It was until 9 years, when I was 9 years old, I really understood and believed in what Jesus did for me on the cross. And after that, everything that I was doing, obviously it was God's grace in me, but everything that I was doing, it was like a real conviction from me. I started serving at my church when I was 14, 15 years old. After that, God allowed me to travel to Argentina to study at the Bible Institute. At that time, Mexico, worldwide Mexico, they didn't have a Bible Institute. Right now, they have a Bible Institute, but at that time, they didn't have it. So I went to Argentina to study the Bible for 3 years, and then came back to Mexico and served with Word of Life 7 years. There, I met Camden, okay? Thank you for your support, because that's the reason why Camden went to Mexico and met this husband. I'm not going to say you how you call me, but it's okay. You can ask me later. Okay, I keep going. Yeah, okay. Oh, I was sharing my testimony, right. That's another story. While I was at Word of Life, I was serving with short-term mission trips. I was working in the ministry department of the Bible Institute. So we had several short-term mission trips a year. In one of those trips, I went to the mountains, you know. Even in Mexico, it's like going to another country, okay? Because some of they don't speak Spanish. They speak something from there. Don't ask me how it sounds, because for me, it sounds like Chinese. I can believe that in Mexico, it's so different. The thing for hearing it. And I went to the mountains, and I was, once we were visiting houses, you know, you got to walk, one house is here, and then you got to walk, and the pastor is keeping, okay, we're going to go, this one is the last one, and then, okay, this one is the last one, and you keep walking and walking to the houses. And we were preaching the word in the houses, and, you know, we found a woman that she accepted Jesus, but it was very... it really touched my heart at that moment, because not even she accepted Jesus, but she was ready for learning more of the Word of God. She was like, okay, tomorrow I will have my family here, and you can come here and teach them also about Jesus. And I thought, and I saw really there was a need. There was not a church near at that time. But God used that experience to show me that in Mexico, in some places, there's people waiting to hear the Word of God. They're ready to be also not only believing the gospel, but also being disciple. So that was one of the experiences God used to call me to go and serve on the mountains. Also, seeing the need where we are going right now, it's in the state of Oaxaca. They are already churches that are established there. And I mean, we are not doing church planting. There are already churches there. But they have fallen in a religious state, you know. They have been forgotten by their denomination, and they just attend to church. But when you talk with the people, you realize that many of them, they are not even Christians, because they don't have totally understand about the gospel. So Camden is going to share a little bit what we're doing, and what's our strategy working there in the mountains.
So the opportunity that we have, we work with two other couples, is to help do short-term mission trips and be a bridge between some of the churches that are already established in the city that maybe lack a little bit of a missionary vision. So we help them be aware of the churches that are in the mountains and connect them to the churches in the rural areas and take them on the mission trips or get them plugged in with certain projects. Also, for the churches that are in the rural area, some of them are doing better than others. So it just depends on the need or what the circumstances with that pastor and that family of believers. But basically each trip looks a little different. Sometimes depending on the skills or talents of the people going and the needs, we can help plug people in different ways. One man went once who was an electrician, and he saw that the connections in their homes are really shady, like they're a little bit dangerous. And so he prepared a workshop with biblical principles to teach them how to correctly wire their homes. And their project was is they raised money for like a toolbox to do all of that for every man that went to the workshop. And it was really cool because the next time that we went, we could see that they applied those things, and it really encouraged the church. So we even did like baking for the girls, or there's medical trips and the normal evangelistic events with kids and things. So really just share a little bit, because anything goes. God can use anything that you have in your life, just being available to him. And so we have the opportunity to connect and plug people in. And then we're doing about 6 of those trips a year, helping to organize those kind of like every other month. And something that Danny and I are doing, trying to think more long-term to be a blessing to the Christian community there, is to establish a Christian school or like a Christian education system. So we're also learning about all the legal requirements, Christian curriculums that are out there, and sharing, see if God would lay on people's heart for people to come help us. Obviously, a school normally is more than 2 people. So you guys can pray for us for that. And this year with our mission trip adventures.
Okay. We're going to show you a little video. Okay. Can we put that? Just one prayer request, okay? Well, in the video, you see a lot of children. Every trip, it's different. In that trip, they went students from the Word of Life Bible Institute in Mexico. So we did a special trip for them. So every trip it's different. Prayer request. Okay, we came driving because we gotta also attend to an orientation of the organization we're working for, also here in the States. And we gotta go back driving because we gotta be like 7th of January, we start our next trip. So pray for safety trip. We have a delay trying to in the border. I hope we don't have a delay going back. I don't know why it's gonna be different. Maybe you can, you're gonna stay from this, that you enter, like they want me not to be. Well, it's a long story. Long story short, they didn't want me to allow enter, but I need to prove some papers and okay, but I'm here. Yeah, it was tough. They want to cancel my visa, just imagine. Okay. Pray also for safety. The next trip, it's going to be a medical aid. So we are almost ready. We just need like some last medicines maybe that are missing. But we are almost ready. So pray for God's provision for that and also for our health and our safety. Thank you so much. Okay, if someone wants to try the real tortillas, okay, you got to go back to a trip in Mexico. We just give me your information and we wait for you there in Mexico.
So I love hearing about all the work that's being done. Isn't that awesome? And hearing about that. So thank you guys for sharing with us. We really do appreciate it. And look forward to finding out a little more. And I would love, you know, we send a mission team every year. We have for the last, I think, 12 years now gone to Nicaragua. So we've done a lot of work in Central America. We'd love to get a team together and maybe come join you guys. So that's something we'll work on and see if we can get the details worked out. I think that would be great. So thank them for sharing. And if you want to talk to them, find out more about how to support them. As a church, we support them. But if you want to find out how you can pray for them and how you can personally support them, they will be available here to talk after the service. The rest of the family was here the first service. So we thank them too for sharing you guys with us. So I think I'm going to jump into the message. And it's hard for me to believe that today it's the last Sunday of 2019. Is anybody else with me just like, where did this year go? I mean, it really has flown by. And I think as I've gotten older, the years do fly by a lot quicker. But it made me do some reflecting. And what we've done on the last Sunday of the year is taken some time as a church to reflect and to look ahead, to reflect on all the good things that have happened and to look ahead for next year. On the last service of 2018, so a year ago, we talked about our word for the year this year was going to be passion, that we wanted to be a church known for our passion about what God was doing. And I really do believe that nothing great is accomplished without passion. Colossians 3:23 shares, whatever you do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people. And so whatever it is we do it for God. We do it for an audience of one. We do it not to impress anybody else, not to make anyone. We do it because we want to do it because how we work is an example to the world of who Jesus is. Romans 12:11 says it this way, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And I think over time, if we're not careful as believers, as followers of Jesus, we can get discouraged, we can get tired, we can get weary, we can lose some of that passion. And so I talked last year about how we kind of can ignite our passion if we're struggling in that. We talked about how we can reach the lost and how we can serve where we're gifted and how we can stay nourished and connected to our Heavenly Father. And when we do those things, it really keeps our passion alive and growing. And I shared Colossians 2, and it says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." And this is my prayer for us, right? That we have this type of passion, that we continue to follow him, that our roots are growing, that we're growing, that we're excited about what God's doing. And as I think back over this year and all the things, it's hard to even like wrap my mind around all the ministry that actually took place this year. We had some really exciting things, like we purchased this building. We're in the process of renovating it for an outreach center. We had our outreach events like Praising in the Park, and we had our Nicaragua mission trip. We just so many things. Our community meals have been going strong. All these things that are taking place right here in our community. And I've said before that often I don't even know about things that happened until after they happen. And that's good, right? It's good when ministry is taking place and people are serving. And that shows me that there's passion. There's passion for Jesus. There's passion to reach the lost. And so my question to you, that was our challenge for the year, is how did you do personally? How is your passion level today? Are you still as passionate for Jesus as you were a year ago? Are you more passionate now? My prayer is that we're all growing in that, that we're all learning what it means to follow and serve and really give our lives to Jesus. And the reality is if we're not careful, I think every church, again, we drift away from our passion and we start drifting towards our preferences. We start drifting towards just sustaining what's already going on. We start losing sight of what God can do and will do, and we start focusing on ourselves. I saw a meme this week that I thought I'd share with you guys, and it was just how to kill a church. And it's like these things that we do sometimes without even realizing the negative effect that it has on a church. And I'm telling you, if we're passionate, these things won't happen. But when we lose our passion, this is what it turns into. We don't evangelize, right? When you quit sharing what you believe with others around you, when you start regularly criticizing leaders. And again, there's times, right, that we can point out issues and problems and we can constructively work through them. But certain people, if they're just critical all the time, then they're just looking to point out everything wrong. How to kill a church: attend services infrequently, right? If you're passionate for Jesus, you're going to want to be at church as often as you can. And the reality is, right, like last week we were packed out. There were people everywhere. And like going into this week, I already knew that we would be a little thin this week, right, because everybody came to church last week. And that kind of got there, say, well, I went to church last week. We don't have to go this week. We don't have to go next. We'll come about every third or fourth week, you know. And then that's just how people attend. And that shows kind of a lack of passion. Refuse to volunteer. And so when you get this attitude that it's someone else's responsibility, it's not mine, that shows a lack of a passion. When you neglect the youth, right? When youth are a nuisance, and I can't tell you how many churches I've been around where the youth and the children are a nuisance instead of a blessing, right? And here, I mean, we love our kids, and sometimes that means it gets loud and it gets crazy and they're running around. But a church full of kids and a church that's loud and crazy is better than a dead church, right? We love our children. We're going to pour into them. They're not, I mean, we care about them. This is the age that they need to learn about Jesus. When you complain more than encourage, right? If people that complain all the time, if they would take that same amount of time and just instead use it instead of complaining, instead of it, start using it to build people up, man, think about what would change. Stop taking the Bible seriously. How to kill a church. You see this all over the country, right? Churches that say, well, I know the Bible says this, but this is what we believe instead, right? That's a way to kill a church. When you start pushing the Bible away and start saying, I don't really believe what it says anymore. And so, you know, we've got to take the Bible seriously. And then the last one is when you value personal preferences over souls. This is what causes most church arguments, most church splits are caused not over theology, not over issues of character even, they're really over personal preferences. I want this type of music. I want this color carpet. I want this. I like this. This is what I want. And so when you start valuing your own personal preferences over the winning of souls, over reaching people for Jesus, that will kill a church. And the reason I share this, right, is because going into 2020, we want to be a church that is known for making disciples. We want to be a church that doesn't lose our passion. And, you know, with new buildings come new opportunities. We've got a lot of things going on here. And one of the best ways, I think, as I was planning for today, I wanted you to hear from multiple people, and not just from me, about what God is doing, what he has done, and what he's going to continue to do. So I've got several videos here I want to share with you from some of our ministry leaders. I didn't get in touch with, didn't get connected with all of them. We did it this week, and obviously with Christmas, it was a little crazy. But we got in touch with several of them, and they were able to share about what God's doing. And the first one, I think, is Larry sharing about our life groups.
Hi, I'm Larry Van Hoosen. I'm the Connections Leader here at Cornerstone. And I just want to say, one of the things that I'm really grateful for the past year is as I've saw people come into the church and really not know anybody and not be connected, that they would invariably get connected by getting in a small group. Some new people even led small groups, which is amazing to me, that they took that step and reached out and met new people and invited them into their homes or met them here at the church. You know, you can have small groups in multiple locations. It's you know, one of the things that we're kind of going to is to not have a set pattern for the life group. For the longest time, our life groups were really just kind of like Bible studies. But as they progressed over time, we've seen some that were really successful, just more as a fellowship group where the people got together. They may have had a meal or snacks. They prayed together and just had a good time getting to know one another and even went on activities together. And so I want to encourage you as we move into the new year, if you ever thought about leading a small group or even facilitating one, having one at your home, or just participating in one, don't be afraid, because it's so easy to make new friends, to expand your family and your connections in the community and through those small groups. We really just have seen amazing things in people's lives. As you get together, you pray for one another, you check on one another, and the life group is such an easy way to do that. And that's why it's been one of the most important ministries here at Cornerstone for as long as we've been around. And again, if you need any help with the life groups, you need any support, you want to know what kind of curriculum to do, or just kind of formulating your own very own life group, just come to see me or come to see Mike and we'll talk you through it. We're going to be starting up new life groups towards the end of January, early February. And so just be thinking about it, praying about it. And we look forward to working with you and seeing you at the next life group. Thanks a lot.
So Larry shared a little bit about our life groups, and they will be starting soon. So again, one of the best ways to get connected and grow in your faith, we believe here at Cornerstone, is to get into a smaller group of people. And as he shared, that can look a lot of different ways. Some groups get together for a meal and just to talk about the sermon each week. Some groups meet and do activities together. We have groups that meet in the morning, groups that meet at night, groups that meet almost every day of the week. But we need more groups, and we need groups we just want to encourage you to really get connected. And so you'll be hearing more about that over the next few weeks as we get some new groups in place. But if you're interested in that, please let us know. So life groups are important, but not just life groups. Our children's ministry is one of our largest ministries in the church. And I want you to hear from Brandy about some of the things there.
Hey, everyone. I'm Brandy Waller. I am the children's ministry director here at Cornerstone Community Church. I have been the children's ministry director since 2013. And I have to say that 2019 was definitely a year of success for the children's ministry. We had a huge growth And we also had a huge growth in volunteer. We have so many volunteers here at Cornerstone, and I'm so thankful for each of those. And to me, that was definitely a huge success for 2019, was just the amount of volunteers that we had. Going into 2020, I'm super excited to focus on parent connection here at Cornerstone. And behind me is going to be the new Parent Resource Center that's going to be available here January 5th, which is the first Sunday of January. And there's going to be lots of different resources that will be available to parents that will just help them stay connected to their child through the children's ministry, and there'll be resources here that you can use at home. So I'm super excited about that. And here's how you can join in to help with the children's ministry. We have different ways you can volunteer, from serving on a Sunday morning. We have live worship on Sundays that you can get involved in as well. We have special events that we always need help with. And then also you can just pray for the children's ministry. So if you have any questions about serving or any questions about the children's ministry, please let me know and I will be more than willing to help you get connected. And I'm just super excited for what God will do in 2020.
So our children's ministry, man, it is one of our largest ministries here at Cornerstone. We need lots of volunteers each week just to be able to do the classes that we have. And so if you love Jesus and you love kids, this is a ministry you need to do. And so don't think just because, oh, they've got all these kids and all these we definitely have a place for you to serve. And so I want to encourage you to think about that. Lots of different ways you can serve there as well. And maybe, you know, you're even when it comes to worship, you're here and you're thinking just like children's ministry, oh, there's people already doing it. They don't need me. And if that's you, I want you to hear what Chris has to share here.
I just want to talk to you a little bit about Praise Team, share a little bit about that. You know, when I first started coming to Cornerstone, I hadn't really done a lot of singing. I'd done some singing at another church, but was kind of interested in joining the Praise Team and the group and kind of getting plugged in. I was a little bit apprehensive and nervous about it because, one, I hadn't sang very much, but the other was they had a, you know, well-knit team, looked like they were doing a good job, didn't really need any help or another person to do it, so kind of was a little bit hesitant, but went ahead and started talking to Chad and got plugged in and fit right in and started singing. And I wanted to share a little bit, if you can play an instrument, if you're interested in singing, even interested in helping with technology, something like that, Praise Team's always open. We can always use more help. Don't be afraid to step up and try it out if you've never done it, or maybe you have done it and you just want to get plugged in. So we just encourage you to do that. And yeah, see if you fit in.
So, yeah, if you're here and you're like, man, I would love to try that out, but there's people already up here. They don't need me. No, we need you, okay? We have spaces. We definitely can use you, and it's just neat to see what God's done. And it's not just singing or playing an instrument, like Chris said. It's running audio, it's running the live stream, running the computer. There's all sorts of different technology things. We even need help with social media. So places we can get you plugged in and serving. I like hearing from all our different, you know, the different people. So I want you to also hear about our youth and student ministries.
Hey, y'all, I can't believe 2019's almost over, but just wanted to give you a little update on our Cornerstone Student Ministries. My name's Jennifer Morris, and I'm the leader of Cornerstone Student Ministries and have an awesome team of other volunteers that help me out each week. But I just want to let you know kind of what we have going on. One of my favorite verses when it comes to thinking about youth ministry and what God's called me to do is the fourth verse of 3 John. I just wanted to read that to you. It says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in truth. And I feel like the kids that God has entrusted to me at Cornerstone are my kids. And when I hear something about how they're walking in their faith or how they've come to faith in Christ, that's what just gives me a lot of joy and really is why I do what I do at Cornerstone with the teenagers there. We have a great group of kids. And seeing teens grow in their faith and cross over from death to life has been a great thing this year. We've seen several teenagers give their life to Christ for the first time. So that's always exciting. We've also seen kids learn. We've seen them serving and leading inside our ministry, inside our church, and even outside the walls of our church. So that's an awesome thing also. One other thing that we've done this year is added a group called 5-6, and that's our fifth and sixth graders. And those that's something that we've started new this year, and we've got a great group of volunteers that are helping us with that. It's been a wild ride. It's been fun to incorporate these kids into our group and just kind of see how God specially designed each one of them also in middle school. So that's been a fun part of our journey. We're really looking forward to 2020 and some of the things that God's got in store for that. The new building that we're going to be in is going to be a big part of that. We're excited about what God's doing there and how we're going to be able to rethink ministry a little bit and kind of how it's going to be outside of maybe the box of what we've been thinking before. So we're just excited and ask that you would just pray for us as we go through that transition and kind of see what God has in store for us there. One of the other things I want to do is just thank you guys so much for being a part of the success of Cornerstone Student Ministries. Y'all are an awesome congregation, an awesome support system. Sometimes I think churches will see teenagers as second class church members and not really give them the opportunity to serve. And that's not the case at Cornerstone at all. Our teenagers are very well taken care of. So I just appreciate that you guys are so supportive of what I do and of the teenagers inside of our church. It means a lot to them and it means a lot to me. If you ever feel like God's called you to work with teenagers, we'd love to sit down and talk to you about that. We have a great group of volunteers now, but anytime we have somebody that loves teenagers and has a passion for them and a passion for Jesus, we'd love to talk to you about that. So happy 2020.
So our youth ministry here at Cornerstone over the years, we've seen a lot of fruit from that. And I love just seeing how the teenagers have, you know, there's a lot of them aren't teenagers now. When we first started back in 2004, so 15 years ago. So it's amazing to see that the youth that have grown up in this church and kind of gone on and how they're serving God today. So it's really remarkable. And so if you're interested in that, that's another way you can get plugged in. One of our big outreach events is our community meal. And we actually had one this past Thursday night, the day after Christmas. And I tracked down Nicole and got her to share a little bit then.
Hey everyone, it's Nicole. We're getting ready for our monthly free community meal. And I just wanted to tell you a little bit about it and how you can get involved. This year, something different we did was every month we had a guest speaker come in. It was actually our first guest speaker was 1 year ago this meal. Mikey Dolinger came in. And one of the things that he really talked about was how God wastes nothing. And I really believe that is true when it comes to the community meals. Having guest speakers this year has been a wonderful change, and next year we're looking forward to moving into the new building, the community building, having more space, and with more space, hopefully we'll be able to serve more people, which means we would love to have you serve. There's lots of ways you can help. We need food every month. We need people to set up. We have people setting up right now. We need help with cleanup. We need help serving the food. And we especially need people to come and talk to our guests. Nothing is more important than coming and sharing a meal with the people in our community and just getting to know the people that live around us. It has been such a blessing for me over the last 7 years we've been doing this. I've made so many friends. And just tonight, a man came in and said he looks forward to this every month. So if you're interested, I would love to help you get connected. And if you just want to come and check it out 1 month, you should just come eat with us and see what it's like. So thanks for everything and thanks for the support. And we look forward to 2020.
So that's just one, you know, of our outreach events we do. There's a lot of videos I could have done this week. Our hospitality team does a great job just making sure everything's ready each week and welcoming you as you get here and preparing coffee. We have our security team that's here that makes sure we're safe. We have our service team that goes out and does a lot around the community just helping people, whether it's helping people move or fix roofs or build porches or all sorts of stuff that they do. There's just stuff that goes on every single week. And again, if you want to find out about that, I encourage you to stay connected through our, you know, you can look on your bulletin and find out stuff. You can go on our website. If there's something you want to sign up for, you can go to mycornerstone.fyi. which is kind of our sign-up site that you can sign up to get involved. But in everything we do here, our goal is that we are making disciples. That's really our goal. And so when we serve and do a meal, the goal is not just to provide a physical need. It's to share a spiritual solution that people need. And so that's really, we want to make disciples. And so here's, if you're following along in your bulletin, I'm just now getting to the underlined points. I'm just now starting really the message, but we'll get done, I promise, sometime today. And here's my question. Here's our challenge for 2020. If we want to really make disciples, we got to be a disciple. So will you be a disciple of Jesus? That's really my challenge. And I think in our minds, many of us think, okay, I'm a Christian, but I'm not yet a disciple. And they think, here's a Christian, here's a disciple, and maybe up here is our pastor or missionary that's kind of like stair-stepped up. And I want you to know, if you are a Christian, you call yourself a Christian, if you are a believer in Jesus, then you are a disciple. You are a student. You are a learner. You are someone who is learning what it means to follow Jesus. And so this is not something that you get to choose and, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not really wanting to live like him. No, that's not really an option for us. And so my question, will you be a disciple of Jesus? When I was thinking about this week, I kind of thought back to a message that a whole churchwide series we did back in 2011. It was a series by Chip Ingram, a book that he wrote on Romans chapter 12. And I thought that would be kind of a cool, just as a kind of a checklist for us to go through today. Just kind of a way for us to evaluate ourselves. Are we a disciple? And this is what he said. He said, being a genuine disciple of Christ flows out of a relationship with him. It's about experiencing God's grace, not earning his love through performance. A real relationship with Jesus Christ will produce a follower whose life looks progressively more like his life. Romans 12 provides a relational profile of that authentic disciple. And so there's really, if the question is kind of like, what does a true disciple look like then? And I think we can learn that by going through the book of or the chapter, Romans chapter 12. So I want to go through this real quickly, but I want to give you five things that kind of characterize what a true disciple looks like. Here's the first. A true disciple is surrendered to God. A true disciple is surrendered to God. What does this mean? Romans 12:1 tells us, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Christianity is not about rules and religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Here at Cornerstone, we have people come from many different backgrounds, many different denominational backgrounds, many different faith-based backgrounds. And I think this is one of the point of confusion that I see a lot is people think, well, I go to church, so I'm a Christian. Or I went through a class, so I'm a Christian. Or I joined a church, so I'm a Christian. What makes you a Christian is what you've done in your heart. Have you surrendered your heart to Jesus and made him the Lord of your life? That is what makes us a Christian. Right? A follower of Jesus. It's when we surrender. This act of surrender is the start, right, of our faith journey. When we surrender to Jesus and he make him the Lord of our life, what we're doing in effect is saying, okay, I'm no longer in control of my life. I'm letting Jesus be in charge now. And so that really is the first step. It's not based on rules. It's based on a relationship with Jesus. The second thing is a disciple is separate from the world. Romans 12:2 tells us this. It says, and so, dear brothers, or it actually says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know what God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Again, I think as you look at American Christianity, we have this idea that, well, I can make Jesus, make him my savior, and then I can go back to my old way of life. And the truth is, when Jesus becomes our Lord, Lord means master. That means that we're now different from what we used to be. That's why throughout the New Testament, we see all these passages. You were once, and you know, fill in the blank, lost, and you were once in sin, and now you have crossed from death to life. There's something different about us. God changes our heart. He changes our desires. We're now different from the world around us. And so a believer has to be separate from the world. We can't go along with worldly desires and pleasures because now we don't serve the world anymore. We serve Jesus. The third thing, I told you I'd go pretty fast here. We have to be sober in our self-assessment. What do I mean by that? Well, if I read this, I think you'll get the gist of it here in verse 3. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Okay? That's a verse I think all of us need to go back and read from time to time. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. This is understanding who we really are. It's not thinking too much of yourself, but it's also not thinking too little. It's understanding you are made in the image of God, but understanding you are also not God. It's understanding where your identity comes from, who God is and who you are and how you can serve him. It's, again, not thinking too much. It's discovering your gifts and finding out how he has created you. The fourth thing, as we keep going through this passage, is the disciple serving in love. And I'll read this whole passage starting in verse 4. It says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body. We all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what's wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them and always be eager to practice hospitality. I love this passage because it really, I mean, we could have spent the whole morning just on that one passage. It's like finding out how God created you and then using those gifts and abilities for him. But the reason you do it is because you love God, and because you love God, you love others. That's why we serve. That's why we do what we do, that knowing that every person has a part to play in the God story. And the final thing here is a disciple supernaturally responds to evil with good. This is where it gets tough. We're called to live differently. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. So when we look at these five things, right? These five characteristics of a disciple, how are you doing? Will you use this as kind of your roadmap, as your guide going into 2020? If we are called to make disciples, it starts with us being disciples. And so I want to challenge each and every one of us. Let's not lose focus on what God has called us to do and who God has called us to be. Our vision here at Cornerstone, and I'll close with this. It's all about making disciples. And you've heard this and you've seen this, but it's simply this. At Cornerstone, disciples are made who are experiencing new life in Christ, who are equipped to follow Christ, and who are engaging our community and our world for Christ. These three relationships that we focus on. We want people to know Jesus. We want people to grow in their relationships with other believers and learn what it means to follow Christ. And we do that in community. And then we go out and we engage our community and world for Christ together. I want to challenge us as a church. Will we do that? Will we be a disciple-making church as we go into this new year? I believe that God has some incredible things in store for this church as we go into this year. Would you guys pray with me as we close? Heavenly Father, I'm just so thankful that this morning we can gather here, that we can look to your word. I'm so thankful to hear about how you are working in our church from our different ministries. But I'm also thankful that you're working not just here in Galax, but around the world through people who are from here and connected to our church. And so we pray for Camden and Danny, that you would just bless them and bless their ministry, that you would give them wisdom and discernment they need, that you would supply every resource that they need, that we as a church could come along and help them as well. Lord, I pray for this church, that we be a church full of passionate people who want to make disciples, who aren't just content with serving, who aren't just content going through the motions, but they want to get to know people so they can share the gospel, so that they can share hope, so that they can share the new life that can be found in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you this morning. You have blessed us, and we take that responsibility seriously as we go into this new year. Help us to be a church that honors you in everything that we do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, as we close, this is your chance to respond. Maybe it's just to sit and reflect about what God has done in your life this past year. Maybe you want to come up and receive communion. This is a time for believers where we can come and receive communion and thank God for what he has done in our life. Maybe it's a time where you want to just stay right where you are and praise God. Or maybe you want to come up to the cross and write out your prayer request and leave them in the box by the cross. Or maybe God is speaking to your heart this morning saying, you need to make a decision. You need to make me the Lord of your life. If that's you, I'll be in the back this morning. I would love to talk with you. I'd love to pray with you. But let's stand as we close.